Well, good morning and welcome. We are so glad that you're here and you're joining us for part three of our playback series. For those of you joining online or by podcast, we're really glad that you're with us today. And here's a big idea of this series. It's simply this, that changing your mind can change your life. Because we all have things that sort of flow through our mind and thoughts that revisit us on a daily basis. A few of them are positive, but if we're really honest with each other, every single one of us, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, a church person, not a church person, we all struggle with thoughts that are simply negative. And what we've been doing is looking at how what we think about actually impacts our lives. And it does. And so the big idea of this series is simply this, that changing your mind can change your life. The first week we simply said, we want you to track your thoughts and take them captive. Sometimes there's so much a part of the furniture, there's so much a part of who we are, we don't even think, you know, that, oh, you're such a failure, you're so stupid, or I'll never amount to anything, that those kinds of thoughts are just normal for us. They don't have to be normal. And if you kind of isolate them and you capture them and you bring them before God, that can be the beginning of change for you. And then last week we saw that maybe these messages have different sources. How do you know if a message is actually from God? And we gave you a very practical tool. You can download it online. You can pick it up at our locations. That will show you which are the messages that source from God and which are not. Because the scripture gives us very specific instruction in that area. And it's all driving to this, that changing your mind can change your life. So let's say you start to do that. You start to take every thought captive. Let's say that you're at the place where you're now identifying the source, saying, oh, wait, this one isn't from God, this is from the enemy. And again, if you're confused by that language, make sure you catch up on part two. But you can do all of that, but I promise you this, you'll always find a way not to change. You're just always going to find a way not to change. I find ways not to change. You find ways not to change. And here's why. There's always a reason you can't make progress. When I was in my early 30s, I went to see my doctor, and I was just kind of struggling. The churches that I was ministering in at the time were very young. We had a young family. Things were busy, and I wasn't in my 20s anymore, and I was tired all the time. I was exhausted, and I didn't feel great. I didn't have a lot of energy, and I thought, well, maybe I should go see the doctor. So I went to see my family doctor. And he sat me down in his office and he said, so what's wrong? And I said, I'm tired. I don't have any energy. And so he said, do you mind if I ask you some questions? I said, no, not at all. He said, are you exercising? And I said, well, no, my wife exercises. Like, does that count? My kids exercise. Is that good for something? He's like, no. He says, are you getting 8 hours of sleep every night? And I said, well, I don't know anybody who gets 8 hours of sleep every night. No, I'm not getting every 8 hours of sleep. I got young kids. I got busy churches. I got stuff to do. Like, no, I'm not getting that. And then he said, are you eating well, properly, like healthily? I thought, well, does Dairy Queen count? Like, I mean, if that counts, I'm eating awesome. And I didn't like where he was going with that. And I said, no, I'm not eating properly. I'm probably not eating a healthy diet. And he said, well, go home, get 8 hours of sleep at night, start exercising, and eat properly. I thought, I want a new doctor. That's what I want. I want a second opinion. I don't like this advice at all. But I knew he was right. And you see, there's always a reason you can't make progress. And sometimes you don't like the reason. Sometimes you're in a place where you're like, and what I wanted that day, I wanted him to give me a pill. It's like, write me a prescription so that I feel better. And he said, no, there's some other things. And here's what you're going to run into, because you're going to say, okay, I'm not a failure. I'm not stupid. I'm not unlovable. Yes, maybe God loves me, but there will always be a reason. There's always going to be a reason why you won't move past that lie into what God actually thinks about you. So the best way I know how to explain that is I want to diagram this out. So if you bear with me, you're actually going to get a card. This is all mapped out on a card for you. You will get this when you leave today at our services. Again, if you're watching online, you can download it at connectuschurch.com. Just click on the playback series. But I want to explain to you how I think this works, or at least how it operates in my life and how I've seen it operate in other people's lives as well. So every time you want to make a change, there's a reason you can't make the change. And maybe, so here's the reason. The reason comes up, it's like, you know, so you're late for a meeting. And you say, well, traffic was bad, I really wasn't budgeting, or my alarm didn't go off. Yeah, that's a legitimate reason. Why are you tired all the time? Well, my kids are young and they don't sleep through the night, so I can't sleep. Understood. Why didn't the report get done. Well, my computer crashed and I couldn't get it done in time, or I ran out of time, or I had to go to a funeral, or there's always a reason. And and you might say, with the thoughts that go through your mind, you might look back and go, well, I really did have a bad childhood. Like, you just don't understand. If you had my dad, if you had my mom, if your dad drank all the time, if your mom abandoned you when you were three, you would think the things that I think too. See, there's always a reason. There's always a reason why you're not going to make progress. It's just, you know, I can't lose weight because it's in my genes. You know, you should see my family. I can't do that. I've used that on my doctor. It doesn't work particularly well. He's a marathon runner. But anyway, you know, so there's always a reason. There's always a reason. And often, sometimes they're just flimsy, but often there's a grain of truth there. And so you'll come up and you'll say to yourself, you know, I'm better off alone, or nobody loves me, or I'm unlovable, or I'm stupid, or I'm a failure, or I'm a bad mom. And you'll come back to a reason, well, I am a bad mom, or I am, but the reason can move in one of two directions. You see, most of the time, if you're not careful, your reason becomes a justification. You're not actually explaining, okay, the report was late because my computer crashed, or, you know, my car died overnight. You didn't leave any margin, or you didn't leave any space, or you didn't call ahead to let them know you're going to be late. It's just a justification. The reason I'm late is traffic was so bad on a Sunday, if you can believe it. The reason I'm late is because my computer died. The reason I'm late is there was a lineup that I wasn't expecting. The reason I'm late, see, it becomes a justification. And most of the time, the reasons that we surface, the reason I can't change, well, I came from a bad family, or my parents were broke, so I'll always be broke, or, you know, my dad cheated on my mom, so I'm always going to cheat on the women that I'm with. It becomes a justification. It stops really, it never gets to the point of being an explanation. It's always a justification. See, but you can take that same reason and turn it into an explanation. Because you can say, oh my goodness, I did come from a bad family. My dad did cheat on my mom regularly. Maybe that's why I'm tempted to cheat. Or maybe that's why I've just decided I'm never going to. Oh, that sort of explains, you know what? I was never loved as a child. But rather than using that as a justification, it starts to become an explanation. So love is going to be harder for me. It's just going to be hard for me to love. My family was so dysfunctional, I won't make sure that's a justification to turn my family into a dysfunctional mess, but it does help me explain why I am the way I am. Or maybe you came from a good home. Or maybe you do always run 10 minutes late. Maybe your computer actually did crash. But rather than using it as a justification, you can use it as an explanation to say, you know what, this computer crashes a lot. Maybe I could start to leave a little more margin. My dad drank a lot. That explains why I get high all the time. That explains why I drink so much. But I don't want to use that as a justification, because I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be that way. See the difference? I'm not saying there's not a reason. I'm not saying it's not a sad story. I'm not saying that your ex was perfect. But sometimes we just have to take responsibility and go, okay. For the rest of my life, I can tell you my sad story and how bad it was, or how awful she was, or how unloved I was as a child, or how difficult my circumstance was. Or I can just go, God, you're giving me information about why I am the way I am, but I don't want to stay that way. It explains it, but it doesn't justify it. See, what happens, and this is where excuses come from, is a reason that becomes a justification turns into an excuse. And you start to make excuses. It's like, well, if traffic wasn't so bad, you know, if my computer hadn't died, if my phone was working, if my alarm had gone off, it's like, I'm not responsible. There's a reason. The reason is responsible, but I'm not responsible. If you knew my dad, if you knew my mom, if you knew my brother, if you knew the abuse that happened to me, if you knew what happened, then you'd be the way I am too. Here's my excuse. Here's my justification. Here's my sad story, which will always be my sad story. And as you process this information, as you process the messages that go through your mind, you'll start to say, no, If you go the way of justification and excuse, I am unlovable. Because look at what my husband said before we broke up. Look at what my next boyfriend said. Look at what my kids say. Look at, well, you're going down the language of justification, which becomes an excuse. Or you could turn it into an explanation. I had a terrible first marriage. I wasn't very good to my kids. I'm not very good to my kids. My parents weren't very good to me, but that, okay. That's an explanation for my circumstances. That's an explanation for the messages that go through my mind. That's an explanation for why I am where I'm at, but I want to make progress. Now I understand. Now I'm bringing this before God. God, this really is my life. This really is my story, but I don't like my life and I don't like my story and I need help and I need somebody who will help me change. Will you help me make progress? You see, people who don't justify, people who don't make excuses, they start to make progress. And I'm sure there's a perfectly good reason, and you're going to get long away from this series in a few weeks or a few months or whenever, you know, wherever, and you're going to go, okay, I'm unlovable. And then this is what will happen. You'll go into, well, I'm unlovable because I bailed on my first husband, because I bailed on my first wife, because I'm not a good dad. I am that deadbeat dad, okay? That's a justification. It becomes an excuse. So I will always be unlovable. I will never be faithful. No. That's true. It explains why I think these things, but I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to let that educate me. I'm going to let that inform me. I'm going to make progress. Because if you go this route, it leads to stagnation. And you just keep repeating yourself, your life is Groundhog Day, over and over and over again. Those lies in your head, and there's a reason, because it was tough or it was bad or you did this or you did that or you're always late or you're always, it just leads you to a place of stagnation. If you treat it as an explanation, you start to make progress and that progress will lead to transformation, Because changing your mind can change your life. If you start to treat your reasons differently. Now, there's a couple of things in your life where I'm sure you're like, you know what? There's no good reason. You just move on. But for the most part, there's always a reason. It was bad. It was tough. He was mean. It was horrible. Justification or explanation? Explanation, you make progress and you become transformed. Justification, you make excuses and you stagnate. Because here's what I think is true. You can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. You can make excuses. I'm just going to make excuses for a long, long time. Or you can make progress, but you can't make both. As long as you make excuses, you will never make progress. As long as you decide, okay, I'm going to treat that reason as an explanation, not a justification, then you can start to make progress, but you can't do both. I had a great example a couple years ago. My son Sam always played sports and was in track in high school. And he went to a great high school, but they did not have great facilities. The track was not that great. So they would train on a gravel track with no lines. And if you ever follow, relay races, he was in the 100 meter, the 200 meter, and he would always run the relay, the 4x100 meter relay race in his high school. Lanes are pretty important and lines are pretty important. If you step over the line, you get disqualified, but they didn't have any of that at their school. It was just a gravel track and, you know, they'd kind of chalk in the lines, but they were a little bit inexact. And it was even had bumps and like potholes and all that. And when you're playing competitive, you know, levels of track at high school, it can get very difficult. And it literally comes down to tenths of a second, sometimes even a hundredth of a second. And if you're off, you're disqualified. If you stumble a little bit, you know, you could be a hundredth of a second off. And the handoffs are so important in the relay race. So they did the circuit and I would drive them around to different schools. And one day we were at a school outside of town in a smaller city than Barrie, where he went to school. But they had like literally a $1 million track. It had like lanes, it was brand new. I don't know who paid for it, whether the government paid for it, whether they raised money for it. It was a killer track. Like you could run professional events on it from the small high school. And I said to him one day when we were driving away from a competition there, their team must be incredible. And it surprised me. He said, Dad, they got eliminated a long time ago. And I said, what? And they got this million, literally a million-dollar track. And you guys are training on gravel. And he goes, yeah, their team got eliminated a long time ago. That year, his team from his high school went to the provincial finals. They placed in the top 10. Here's a picture of Sam running the final race. Placed in the top 10. Didn't train on a track like that. But his team just decided they were going to use the reason we got a bad track as a justification or an excuse. We got a bad track, so guess what? We have to train harder. We have to work harder, and we have to make sure that when we're on a real track, we get these relays. We got to get the handoff. You can see how much I know about track, almost nothing. But we've got to get the handoff 100% right, and we've got to work harder than the guys with the great track, so then when we get to the great track, we do well. And they finished top 10 in the province. In a school with a gravel track and no lines. See, I don't know about you. I just think of my brain as an excuse factory. It's just an excuse factory. I will come up with excuses all the time. In fact, what I did was I actually made a list of excuses that people use. And I use these excuses. You use these excuses. In fact, we brainstormed with a team. It's like, tell me if you've ever used some of these excuses. Too little time. Just haven't got the time. I've not got the time. Too busy. Too expensive. Too cheap. See, sometimes it's too expensive. Sometimes it's too cheap, so you're not going to do it. Too far. Too close. Oh, that's too far. We're never going to go there. Well, that's too close. We wouldn't do that. Too boring or too much drama. Just too exciting. That's too much adrenaline for me. I can't do that. Too much work. Too cold. Too hot. Too humid. Too dry. Too hard, too familiar, too foreign, too old, too young, too inexperienced, too out of shape to exercise, by the way. It's too out of shape to exercise. I used to think that. Too far gone, too tired, too hungry, too full. How about this? I didn't know. Nobody told me. Wasn't in my calendar. Sorry. Does that sound familiar? At least vaguely familiar. I'm pretty sure I've used every single one of those excuses at some point in my life. And the point is, your mind is an excuse factory. You're always going to come up with a reason not to do it. You're always going to come up with this reason why, no, I can't change. I am unlovable. I am stupid. I am such a failure. I am no good. Even if you identify the source, and it'll be like, you know, the accuser will come back and he'll say, well, yeah, that applies to everybody but you. Oh, yeah, that's right. Not me. No. That's why this is so important. You will always, always, always just invent excuses. And if you kill one, other excuses will get manufactured magically. So what do you do? I think understanding it is half the battle. You see, tell me if this isn't true. The people in life, just think about a cross-section of the people you know and maybe people you admire. The people who make the most progress make the fewest excuses. The people who are leading in culture, the people who you actually admire make the fewest excuses. And the opposite is also true. The people who make the most excuses make the least progress. See that? Excuse. And you can think, don't name anybody, don't look around at the people beside you, but there are people you know who just make excuses constantly. They don't make a lot of progress, do they? And the people who make the most progress make the fewest amount of excuses. I don't think that's an accident. And you will have all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses why you can't change what happens up here. Just knowing that is half the battle. Now, this isn't just practical. We just talked about practical because I think we can all understand it. It's also spiritual. This is about your relationship with God. And Jesus actually told a really fascinating story about excuses. And so we pick up a parable in the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, who was a companion of Paul. He was actually a physician, probably one of the most educated, well, there were a bunch of educated people who wrote scripture, but very highly educated, probably in Greek and Hebrew culture. Luke wrote an account of Jesus' life. And in the 14th chapter of that, he tells this story about Jesus. So Jesus is sort of having dinner. He's at a dinner party, and he's talking to people at the dinner party. And one of the guests responds to Jesus by saying this. This is where we pick up the story. Hearing this, a man sitting at table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." I've never really understood this. I think that was probably, you know, you're at a dinner party and there's just a gap in the conversation. And then somebody says something, but it's really kind of dumb. It's like, why did you say that? I don't know why he said that. But anyway, it's like, what a blessing it'll be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Okay, great, good. We're glad you're excited about that. And Jesus used that as an opportunity to tell a story with a lot more power. He said this, a man prepared, let me tell you a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet's ready. Like, okay, so surprise, surprise. Guess who the guy who's throwing the party in the story is the banquet? It's God. And he's sending out an invitation. So come, the banquet's ready. But look at the next verse. The next verse says this. But they all alike, one translation says, began making excuses. It's just like God has prepared something and now you're going to have excuses as to why you can't participate in what God is doing. One said, I've just bought a field and must inspect it. So please excuse me. Okay, we got a new, you know, cottage and we got to go up there. So I'm busy. We just got a new house. You know, closing date is soon. Please excuse me. Again, do you see this? There's a reason. It's not like I don't want to come. Now, sometimes you don't want to come. And you make up a reason anyway, an excuse anyway. But this is like, no, I got a legit thing going on here, a reason. I bought a house. So I got to go inspect it. You know, closing date is soon. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I just got a new car. I don't know what the modern equivalent of oxen is, but just got some wheels. And I want to try them out. How about 5 pairs of wheels? That would be fun, right? And I want to try them out. I got to test drive it. Please excuse me. It's legit. Maybe you could wait with that, but I got to test drive it. So please excuse me. And another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. She told me I'm not allowed to go. Sometimes, how many guys, no show of hands. How many husbands have ever used your wife as the excuse? But anyway, it's like, she says I can't do it. Anyway, I have a wife. Actually, do you know, according to Jewish law, a man who was newly married was exempt from military service for a year so that he could learn how to be a husband, which is not bad advice. A lot of marriages struggle because you're so busy and, you know, that's legit. It's like, well, you don't even have to go to war, so I kind of get that. You're married, I can't come. The servant returned, so he, you know, sends out 3 invites, get 3 no's. The servant returned and told the master what they had said. And God said, no worries, man. No. Look at the next. The master was, look at this, furious. Next verse. The master was furious, furious. You're like, well, that's weird. I throw a dinner party. People say, no, I don't get furious. I think this is more important than my dinner party or your dinner party. I think this is about something that actually impacts the whole reason you're here on the planet and what happens in eternity. So his master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. My guess is they're not doing much, you know? They're not buying houses. They got no money. They can't even move. I bet you they'll come to my party. And sure enough, that's kind of what happened. God's like, oh, you busy. And this is a challenge. If you've got money, if you've got time, if you've got resources, if you're somewhat affluent, God says it'll be harder for you to come to the party I'm throwing than for the person who's poor. And if you've ever done mission work in a developing country, you've seen that firsthand. Because these people who have nothing, are so gracious and so grateful. And the people who have everything are uptight and full of excuses and angry. Wonder if there's some of this in this parable. And the servant had done this. After the servant had done this, next verse, he reported, there's still room for more. And these people are still out buying houses and cars and, you know, getting married. So his master said, go out into the country, next verse, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can find to come so that the house will be full. That's actually one of the reasons we have church every weekend. That's one of the reasons we do what we do. That's one of the reasons we do what we do online. That's one of the reasons we do these things. Why? Because God's desire is that nobody should perish. God's desire is that if you have never heard how much your Heavenly Father loves you, and this is the very first time you hear it, you're still invited. He loves you, and he wants a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. He does. Now, there are some who have said no to God. And some who've said, I've seen what you're offering, I'm not interested. And to them, God says, for none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. You see, you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. I just think that's true in my life. So far, you've done a couple of things. You've captured your negative thoughts. You've just captured your negative thoughts. And if you haven't been writing them down, or maybe you're joining us part ways through this series, I would just encourage you to do that. Start writing them down and say, why do I think I'm unlovable? Why do I think I'm a failure? Why do I think nobody will ever care about me? Why do I think I'm insignificant? Capture them, write them down. Second thing, identify the source. Identify the source. And again, if you missed part two, make sure you download or drop by our physical campuses and get a copy of that card, and it will walk you through all of this. And you'll begin to see, okay, God is responsible for these thoughts in my mind, and the enemy is responsible for these thoughts. Because once you identify the source, you can change your course. And then this week, here's what I'd love for you to do. You're tracking your thoughts, but track your excuses. Just track them. If you have to, write them down. Because I am full. I'm an excuse factory. I don't know about you. I'm full of lame excuses. And my instinct is not to take responsibility. It's to actually do what we talked about. It's to justify my behavior. You'll get one of these cards on your way out in just a few minutes. It's to justify my behavior. It's to make an excuse, which produces stagnation. But the wise challenge their excuses. And so don't just track your excuses. Challenge them. Challenge them. Because if you start to challenge your excuses, you'll zip back up here. And there may be a legitimate reason. But it becomes an explanation that can lead to progress, which will lead to transformation. I just want to give you one example before we're done today about something in my life a few years ago that I just decided I was going to stop saying. Because as our church has grown, it's become more complicated to lead, and we started with some really small churches. But man, once you start getting even a couple hundred people in your church, it gets really busy and people have expectations of you. And now we have a couple thousand people who call our church home. And I mean, you know, about 5 years ago, I reached yet another watershed moment where I just realized I do not have the time that I need to do the job that I need. And I had lots of things I wanted to do with my life that I just wasn't getting around to, and I was trying to raise my family, and it was difficult. And I found myself saying on a regular basis, you know what, I'd love to, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. And then one day I remember the penny dropped, and I thought, Carrie, stop. You have exactly the same amount of time as anybody else on the planet. Every single day you live, you have 24 hours. The only exception to that, there's only 2 days where that's different. One is the day you're born, and the second is the day you die. Those are little blips on the radar in terms of your life. So you have 24 hours every day. The most productive person on the planet gets 24 hours in a day. Same as the least productive person on the planet. The people that you admire, you know, somebody you can run an entire company or a multinational, multi-billion dollar company or country, and You get exactly the same amount as the person who wasted a day. You don't get any more or any less time. 168 hours in a week, 24 hours in a day. And so I challenged myself with this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to stop saying I don't have the time. I'm just going to stop saying it. Because I have the same amount of time as you do, as any of us here. I have the same amount of time. And so in the back of my mind, you can't say this publicly, I thought, no, it's a decision you're making, not an excuse. So in the back of my mind, I started saying, I'm not going to make the time. I'm not going to make the time. Because there were priorities I needed to get to that I wasn't getting to. I'm not going to make the time. Now, you can't say that socially. It's like, hey, do you want to have lunch? No, I'm not going to make the time for that. That loses a lot of friends very, very quickly, so you can't say that. But it was a personal challenge in the back of my mind. And I reprogrammed how I did my time. This was 5 years ago. I decided that Mondays I was going to start studying all day and getting ready for the messages well in advance. Wednesday was going to be a day with no meetings. Tuesday and Thursday I'd have some breakfast slots where I could meet with people I needed to meet with, but otherwise I was busy. I decided when I was going to start work, I started getting up early. And I stopped using the excuse of, I don't have any time, I don't have enough time, I'm always out of time in my life. And these last 5 years have been significantly more productive as a result because I've had to challenge my life. Now, it's still complex. In fact, in the last 5 years, our church has gotten bigger than it's ever been before. But we've been able to accomplish more than we ever have. We've been able to raise a lot of new money for ministry that wouldn't have been possible before. And I had to devote time to that. We moved into our first permanent facility, completely refreshed our Aurelia location. We were able to do that. We're reaching more people than we've ever reached before. We have a bigger staff than we've ever had before. I've had more time because I've made more time to work on messages like this. Because if you're going to teach carefully, it actually takes time. You can hobble something together on a Friday and sort of memorize it on a Saturday and come forward. But if you're really going to work hard, you have to set the time. Now, I didn't get more time. I just decided I was going to use my time differently because I got the same amount of time as anybody else. In those same 5 years, I spent all of my 30s with people telling me, you need to write a book, you need to write a book. And I kind of thought, well, I think I'd love to write a book, but I was always running out of time because when are you going to have time to actually write a book? In the last 5 years, I've actually been able to write and publish 3 books. And all my 30s, I was like, no, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. You see, here's what I realized in my life. You can make excuses, or you can make progress, but you can't make both. I never had time for exercise until 5 years ago. I decided, okay, I gotta stop saying I don't have time. Now, exercise is still a struggle for me. But for the last 3 years, I've cycled over 2,000 kilometers a year. With the same amount of time I had before. Now that's just one small example. But you can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. So this week, track your excuses. Track them. What do you find yourself saying again and again? Probably the time, I'm too busy, I'm so busy, it's too hot, it's too cold, I was late because, or it didn't happen because, or you should see the stage of life I'm at, our kids. I know. You should see the family I grew up in. You don't know how much my dad drank. You don't know my mom, she cheated on him over and over. I know. You don't understand my ex-husband, and that's why I'm unlovable, and that's what... I know. But you can make excuses, or you can make progress, but you can't make both. So what do you want to make? See, and this is honest, and you're like, well, how do I deal with this? Why don't you go to God in prayer? Why don't, in the same way you've captured those negative thoughts, in the same way you're identifying the source, why don't you take your excuses to God? Say, look what I keep saying. Why do I keep saying that? Because if you take your reasons, your sad story, you're like, oh yeah, this is so bad, and you take it before God, they'll stop being justifications, they'll stop being excuses, they'll start to become explanations. I really am busy. I really only have a finite amount of time. I really do struggle in relationships. Sometimes I am unlovable because of this. But God, before you, before you, before you, you can deal with that. And maybe we can make some progress. And maybe I can be transformed. Because that's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. Because you can make excuses, or you can make progress, but you can't make both. Now, next week when we come back, we're going to look at this because this is sort of the major obstacle. But when we come back, we'll look at, well, what do I fill my mind with and what does that look like? And we're going to do something that we don't do very often around here on a weekend. We're going to actually make some space at the end of the service for you to spend some time with your Heavenly Father in communion. We're going to serve communion. We're going to remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus together. We're going to serve communion. We're going to have a very quiet ending to the service and just time for you to renew your mind, because changing your mind can change your life. But before that, capture your excuses, because there's so much at stake. Let's pray together. Father, as we go through this journey together, I just want to confess my mind is a constant excuse factory. I come up with all kinds of reasons why I can't, why I shouldn't, why I won't. Father, you know our excuses. You know our mind. You know our stories. Let none of them be a reason why we can't make progress. You love us with an undefeatable love. You conquered death. If that can't stand in the way of our future, nothing can. And Father, it is all in our minds, these excuses, these reasons. But may we stop the justifications and start the explanations and make some progress. May we become the people that you imagine, the people that you love. And may we be transformed by the renewing of our minds through your work, Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.